Good morning. As soon as your tithes and offerings are collected, we'll bring you an outline for our lesson. Just hold up your hand if you need that. I'm going to dismiss our power kids as they pass out those outlines. I want to thank all of our young people who've helped lead us to the throne today, not just in our scripture readings, but in our songs, as we have focused on the coming of the reign of God. And we want to do that this morning in our lesson as we consider what it means to pray for rain. Because that's what kingdom people do. They ask for the rule of God to come into their lives. And so it's appropriate that we start with a story about prayer. I heard of a young man that went to a candy store and he said to the man behind the counter, "I would like to buy 3 boxes of candy, a $5, a $10, and a $20 box of candy." And the man behind the counter said, "Why do you need 3 boxes of candy?" And the young man said, "Oh, I've got a first date tonight with a girl I'm really excited about. And when I take her home, if she shakes my hand, I'm going to give her the $5 box of candy. But if she hugs me, she gets the $10 box. And if she grabs me and gives me a kiss, she gets the $20 box of candy." So he bought all 3, put them in his car, and later that evening went to her home to pick her up. He was invited first to come in and have a meal with the entire family. And as they sat around the table, the father of the young lady turned to the boy and said, "Would you please lead us in prayer for our food?" He bowed his head and he began to pray. He prayed the longest, the most eloquent, the sweetest and most moving prayer you've ever heard. When he was finally through, his young date leaned over and she whispered, "I had no idea that you were so spiritual." And he leaned back and whispered, "And I had no idea that your daddy owned a candy store." You see, there's 2 kinds of prayer. There's prayer that goes through the motions. And then there's prayer that means business. Big prayers for big plans. Now, kingdom prayer is prayer that means business. You should not pray for rain unless you really mean it. Jesus said to his disciples, "I want you to be praying men and women. I want you to acknowledge that God is in heaven. He's holy. And I want you to pray," Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In its essence, kingdom prayer is prayer that pleads for God to do what He wants. Now, you might ask, isn't God going to do what He wants anyway? Sometimes. But other times, God makes the sovereign choice to accomplish His will only when He's asked to do it. The discovery of this principle has been the most significant in my ministry in the last 7 years. That just because God has a will does not always mean that will get done. God makes the sovereign choice often to wait until He is asked to do what He wants to do. Now, there are many examples of this principle illustrated in Scripture. For example, because of their sins, the children of Israel were about to be sent to Babylonian captivity. And God, through the prophet Jeremiah, wanted to encourage the people before they went of what God's will was for the people. So, in a great passage in Jeremiah 29, we read these words starting in verse 10. This is what the Lord says. "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I've carried you into exile. God says, I've got plans for you. I've got great intentions for you. And I will fulfill my plans when you seek me with all your heart. I will let you pray that I carry out my plans. It reads this way in Ezekiel 36, verse 37. This also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will let them ask me to do what I want to do. Now, let's read then in Daniel chapter 9. Some years later, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. He's talking about the text we just read. Daniel said, I knew God's plan was for this captivity to last 70 years. Look at the next verse. So, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, Daniel said, once I understood God's will, I boldly, fervently asked for it. I sought God with all my heart. When you find a promise of God, when you understand the will of God, this is not to restrain prayer, but to incite prayer. Once you know what God's will is, you should pray more for it, not less. Another example in the Old Testament is the great story of Elijah. You remember that King Ahab was a wicked man and God had sent a famine on the land because of his wickedness. But in 1 Kings 18, God says, Elijah, you go tell King Ahab, I'm going to send rain. And then you have the great story of the Mount Carmel experience. Fire came down from heaven. The prophets of Baal were slaughtered. But then Elijah does something interesting. He gets on his knees seven different times and starts to pray for rain. Now, why does he need to pray for rain? God has already said, I'm going to send rain. But he understood the principle. Once you understand the will of a sovereign God, you ask for it. And he did. And the rain came. See, the aim of prayer is not to get past the reluctance of God. Sometimes I read books on prayer that have titles like The Secrets of Effective Prayer. The implication is God's very busy. He's got to run the whole universe. It's hard just to get past his secretary. But if you know some secrets, maybe you can get a few minutes with God. Wrong. God wants to bless us. God is able to bless us. God is eager to let his reign be experienced on the earth. But he waits for people to plead. Kingdom people to plead. God, do what you want to do. Now, let me ask you this morning. Have you been doing that? Have you been praying for rain? Let me share with you three principles that kingdom prayer needs. First, kingdom prayer needs a holy burden about the way things are. See, those comfortable with the borders of the dominion of darkness do not pray for rain. If you are not dissatisfied with where the gates of hell currently are, you're not going to pray for the kingdom of God to expand in those places. Kingdom prayers are offered by people who have a holy discontent about how things currently are. But the problem in our culture is that it's hard to have a sustained burden in a land that prefers to switch channels. You know what I mean. What we do whenever we see something that begins to bother us is we pick up the remote and we find something else to watch. Tony Campolo illustrates that. Once he said he was in a restaurant in Haiti. He was at a table right by a window. The owner brought him his plate of food and he began to eat. And then he noticed right there beside him on the other side of the window were a bunch of little street kids, orphans, with their hands and faces pressed against the window, starving to death, homeless kids. And there he had on his plate more food than these kids would see in a week. And he said it began to bother him so much that he couldn't eat. And then the owner of the restaurant saw what was happening, and he had his own way to fix the problem. He walked over to the window, cursed the kids, pulled the blind down, and they said, "There, now you can eat." We've gotten good at pulling the blind down, changing the channel, and dismissing the burden God wants us to have. And so maybe the first thing we should do is ask God to give our hearts the increasing capacity to break over the things that break His heart. The first thing Jesus ever taught about the kingdom is it's for the people who are poor in spirit. The second thing He taught, Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who have the capacity to be broken over things that break God's heart. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Nehemiah. He had a cushy job. He was cupbearer for the king of the world. But he was a Jew. And he got word that back home, his city, Jerusalem, was in ruins and the walls were down. Now, he could have said, "Who cares? I got a good job. I'm 1,000 miles away. I've got other things to worry about." But the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 4, that when he heard these things, he sat down and he wept. Kingdom prayer is an act of rebellion about the way things are. It's a response of the gracious work of the Holy Spirit, who will apply spiritual pressure to your heart about something in your world that is not like God wants it to be, so that you will start to ask for the kingdom to come. Now let me ask you, what's that place in your world? Is there not something in your world that is a spiritual burden to you because you know it's not like God wants it? Do you ever walk through a mall or go to a ball game and see the thousands of people that don't know Jesus and began to be burdened? Do you ever drive down a street and you see the topless bars that degradate and abuse women and just feel nauseous? I pray against them every time I drive past them. I pray against them that they'll go out of business. And if all the Christians in Fort Worth and Dallas would join me, they would. Or you hear a story about another Christian dad who's going to leave his wife and his kids because he found somebody else. Do you ever get sick about that? Because until we do, we're not going to pray for the kingdom. We're satisfied with the borders of the kingdom where they are. So why are we going to pray for them to expand? Revival never comes before remorse. So kingdom prayer needs a holy burden about the way things are. And then second, it needs a real balance between our hands and our knees. See, what's the first response when you get that spirit-led urge to do something? Let's go back to Nehemiah. He found out the walls were down. What was the first thing he did? Did he start a fundraising campaign? Did he form a task force to study the options? Did he hire some engineers to draw up blueprints for a wall? The first thing he did, it says, look at the second half of verse 4. "For some days I mourned and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Prayer is the first priority. It's not the last resort. We want to do something. Well, we should be willing to do something. We should be willing for God to use us to answer our own prayers. Don't get on your knees if you're not willing to offer your hands. But before you do your dealing, do some kneeling. Or otherwise, you're going to operate in the flesh. I agree with Haddon Robinson, who said, the work is prayer, and the ministry is the reward for the work. Kingdom prayer is work. It is hard work. Look, for example, at Romans 15:30. The Apostle Paul says, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you. That Greek word struggle or wrestle was the Greek word synagonizomai. It's where we get our word agonize. Do you know why I don't spend as much time in kingdom prayer as I should? Because it's hard. Because it's easier to organize than to agonize. It's easier to go to another committee meeting. Or to make a phone call and tell somebody how upset you are about something and what are they going to do about it. Or to read another book. Or to go to another seminar. Or to watch another video. Than it is to get on my knees day after day and beg God. But a kingdom-focused disciple understands the chief hindrance to the reign of God in our church, in your family, in our city, is not methodological, it's spiritual. Folks, we're up against the enemy of darkness. We're up against spiritual forces of evil. If going to a seminar could bring the kingdom of God, it would have been here by now. But you can't win a spiritual battle in the flesh. We need power, spiritual power, to see the reign of God come. And we don't get that kind of power until we get on our knees before the throne of God and ask for it. And that leads me to the last thing I've learned. That kingdom prayer needs a firm belief that the King will show up. You see, a lot of people in the church today live with tension. And the tension is this. They really do believe that God was very, very active in the past. And they really do hope that God is going to be very, very active in the future. But they're just not very sure if God is very active in the present. And so we go to Bible class and we read these stories in our Bible, amazing stories about the God who used to do really cool stuff. And what would you think of me one Sunday if I said, hey folks, those are just for kids. We don't know if they really happened. I mean, come on. Walking through a sea and fire coming down out of heaven and virgins getting pregnant and dead men coming out of tombs. I mean, we don't know if that really happened, but it does teach us good principles. What would you think of me? My guess is you would insist that I get fired right away. Listen, those stories in the Bible are not there to teach the church what God could do. They are there to teach the church what God can do. They are there to inspire us to remember that the King still shows up. One of the great Christian schools in America is Dallas Seminary. A lot of great men have studied there. Founded in 1924. But in the early days of its beginning, it almost had to close its doors. In fact, on noon of one particular day, the banks were going to shut the school down because it was in debt and was going to have to declare bankruptcy. Dr. Lewis Schaefer was the president of the school at that time, and he called all the Bible faculty together to pray, including a well-known teacher named Harry Ironside. They got in the president's special office and they began to pray. And when it came Harry's time to pray, he prayed in typical bold fashion. He prayed, "Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine, but this morning we need you to sell some of those cows and send us the money." As they were praying, a tall West Texan walked into the receptionist's office and told the woman there, "I was in Fort Worth this morning at the stockyards. I had 2 train cars of cows to sell, and I did. And I was going to use the money for a business deal, but it fell through. And I just think God wants me to give the school the money if you could use it." And he wrote her a check. She timidly went to the door and knocked, and Dr. Schaefer came to the door and looked at the check. It was exactly the amount they needed to save the school. And he turned and he said, "Harry, God just sold those cows." A while back, I got on 820 here in front of the church and got behind a pickup that had a bumper sticker that said, "My God's alive. Too bad about yours." You see, if you believe the tomb is empty, then you must believe the King can still show up. And that means extraordinary is ordinary in His kingdom. Kingdom prayer is asking the King to enter history and do what He longs to do. And loved ones, there is nothing in all your life more exciting than experiencing the coming of God's rule in an area of your life where the kingdom of darkness used to reign. You see, kingdom prayer deeds are so awesome, only God gets the glory. There is nothing that lies outside of what prayer can do, except if it's outside the will of God. Let me say that again. There is nothing impossible for prayer, except what's outside the will of God. So kingdom prayers are big and they're bold. I like to collect golf stories. I don't know if this is true. I was told it was a true story. In the 1960s, Arnold Palmer was the Tiger Woods of his generation. And he was in Saudi Arabia putting on an exhibition for the king of that country who loved the game of golf and happened to be one of the richest men in the world. And the king was impressed with Palmer's prowess and wanted to give him a gift. Like a typical Westerner, Palmer, thinking he was being polite, said, "I don't need a gift, King. Your hospitality has been my gift." But a servant explained to Palmer that it was rude not to accept something from the king, that he needed to ask the king for something. So Palmer shrugged his shoulders and said, "Okay, well then the king can give me a golf club." According to the story, the next day the servant came to Palmer's hotel room and knocked on the door. And when Palmer answered the door, he was given the deed to a 300-acre golf club. And the moral is, if you're going to ask the king, don't think small. Kingdom prayer is prayer for the rule of God in ways that is so big only God could make it happen. If you're praying for something you can do in your own flesh, that's not a kingdom prayer. There's some people in our church that are praying against divorce ever happening again in this church. Ever. That's a kingdom prayer. There's people in this church that are praying that in this generation, every tribe on earth will hear the gospel. That's a kingdom prayer. I pray regularly for the day when this church will see 1,000 people baptized into Christ in 1 year. Now, some of you think that might be a knucklehead prayer, but I've got 2 questions. Number one, could it possibly be the will of God that many people be saved? And number two, do you think it'll ever happen if nobody ever asks for it? Now, I want to ask you this morning, what are you praying for that's so big only God could do it? What part of the dominion of darkness in this world are you praying against so that the king can come and set up his rule. Folks, have you ever considered how outlandish the story is that brought us together this morning? I mean, look at us. We're different races, different backgrounds, different tongues right here in this room, different socioeconomic levels. Why are we sitting in the same room together? Because we believe the same story. We believe in a God that we've never seen with our eyes. We believe that everything we do see with our eyes, He created just by speaking, and it showed up out of nothing. We believe He got so fed up with how things are, He flooded the whole world and started over with one family. We believe He took a 100-year-old man and got a 90-year-old woman pregnant to start the redemption plan. And it gets better. We believe He brought 2 million people out of Egypt with 10 plagues and led them right through the middle of a sea that He parted for them. We believe He called fire down from heaven, closed the mouths of lions, and made the sun stand still. And it gets better. We believe that this very God, in the person of His Son, became an embryo in the womb of a teenage virgin and submitted to the process of human birth. And God was a baby. And it gets better. We believe that baby grew up to be the Son of Man and Son of God. Walked on water, fed thousands with a sack lunch, healed the sick, raised the dead, never sinned, never even had a sinful thought. It gets better. We believe they put Him on a cross and killed Him and stuck Him in a tomb and put a stone on it and a seal and a bunch of guards, and 3 days later God busted Him out. And He visibly, bodily ascended up to heaven, and He's visibly, bodily going to come back with holy angels to destroy wickedness and save His church. Now that's what we say we believe. Now let me ask you a question. Doesn't it make sense that if we can believe a story like that, we can pray for rain? We can pray big. And we can see the kingdom of God come. Remember, God moves mountains, but prayer moves God. So, I want you to bow your head. And I want you to pray a kingdom prayer. Some of you have already prayed one. Some of you have a kingdom prayer. You've been praying now for days and weeks and years. Pray it again. Some of you need a kingdom prayer. You need to ask God to put on your heart this morning a prayer so big only He could do it. So I want you to bow your heads. And I want us all to pray for the kingdom to come.